Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donney, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera.
Lord, we give you thanks for community, for Joseph, Laura, and I to be able to address issues with our podcast listeners, Lord, issues that are important to them. That you care to share. We appreciate being your instruments. We just ask for your guidance, Lord. We ask for your inspiration. We also ask your blessings upon the listener, God. We all go through troubles, and we just ask that you would bless their hearing, their understanding of your word, Lord, and how we expound upon it in a counseling kind of a format and in a real life format. We just need your guidance upon us as the presenters and the recipients who are the hearers, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would be in the midst of all of it, so we can grow stronger as a community. And we love you, Lord, and we give you thanks. Ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome back. It's good to see you guys. I'm so glad to be here with Laura and Kevin. And I'm glad that the listener is here too, because we're going to talk about social media. We're going to actually take a few episodes to kind of cover this pretty broad subject. And we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about how we deal with it personally. And then what is the social aspect of social media and how it affects us and the world around us. But today we're going to focus on relationships. And Kevin has brought it to our attention that he's been dealing with clients in this relationship setting. So Kevin, go ahead and take it away.
Well, thank you, Joseph. It's good to be here with you and Laura as well. I think social media is a good thing. It can be a good thing if used for right reasons, and it can be something that can become addictive and also destructive if we're not careful. And of late, I've probably received 4 to 6 couples who have had problems, one or the other, of emotional cheating, but also even further than that. And it started with social media, something they thought was very benign, liking something on Facebook or Instagram and following a person and just thinking that everything was innocent. And then it just grew insidiously. And then it became them exclusively communicating with that other person, and then eventually perhaps even meeting them or having phone calls rather than just doing Facebook and Instagram. And then it's in some cases have led to inappropriate photos being sent back and forth. And in some cases, it's led to extortion where the person would say, hey, I have these photos, and if you don't do X, Y, and Z, then guess what? I'm going to share them with your family members. I've had clients like that. And all of a sudden, not only are a couple's lives destroyed, but all the children and grandchildren, and it wreaks great havoc, and it just destroys families. And so I think we can use biblical principles in managing how we even look at social media. For example, maybe it's my ethics, or maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I don't think so. I think I've based my ethics personally upon God's word solely. It doesn't mean I live perfectly. I make mistakes. I'm a human being. I have carnality that I wrestle with every day, and my sinful idiosyncrasies. I'm not doing anything illegal or socially inappropriate or anything. I'm not a madman, but I'm a fallen nature man. I got that sin in me. But with regards to social media, I don't think it's appropriate for me to give any emotional content away to another woman that should be directed to my wife, not seeking comfort, not seeking, I don't know, anything of emotional content that instead of communicating with my wife what my needs are and what my fears are and perhaps how I like for her to look, and hey, I like that dress on you. I like when you put that makeup on and you look gorgeous. And boy, you instead of those are just a couple examples, but instead of forthrightly solving our loneliness or need for compassion with communicating with our spouse, we turn to a substitute. We turn to something called social media and start communicating that content, spiritual, emotional, mental content out to other people. And we fall into quicksand if we're not careful. And all of a sudden, we have a splintered relationship with our spouse that's very hard to repair. I've had a lot of clients like that. And I think that's something that we need to give some reflection upon as presenters and try to help our audience.
Yeah, I think it's really good that you brought this conversation forward, because I don't really hear a lot of people talking about this really important subject. You know, I'm going to come right out of the gate with a scripture that the listener may be familiar with, but it really sets the ground for what we're talking about. And it's found in James 1, starting in verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But this is the important part, listener. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and are enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. Now, see, we love you, the listener. We love our own souls enough to lean on this, because this is what happens. Adultery doesn't usually start out as adultery, or even if it's an emotional affair, right? It's a betrayal of a relationship. And what happens is that people take these seemingly little steps because boundaries have not been set. So, you know, one of the things we want to say is let the scripture be a foundation for your marriage. Know that it's good to set boundaries in a marriage. You know, that's a covenant. Understand that, just like what Kevin said, it happens a lot. We don't believe that most people go in looking for it to end in disaster. However, that's exactly what happens a lot of the times. You know, doing this work for a long time, gentlemen, I realize that a lot of times people are just trying to feel alive in their own skin. You know, we are just going from, you know, thing to thing, and life becomes dry and it becomes hard. And, you know, the marriage that was once very exciting and, you know, it just becomes about duty, right? Instead of the husband and wife really digging down to what's really going on, right? We often try to take a shortcut, and then somebody pays attention to us that we haven't felt that kind of excitement in a long time. And it's very seductive, but that's what the enemy is. The enemy is a seducer. Like, I wish we could really understand that the way that the evil one often gets us when it comes to temptation is through seduction, that we're going to get something and we're going to get it for free, that there isn't going to be a cost to be paid. Or even if we fall deep down enough in that pit from that slippery slope that we went into, we think that it's a price we're willing to pay. And the reality is, you know, I don't say it as well as the author who originated it, but, you know, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Right? It'll cost you more than you ever thought that it would. And, you know, at the end of this road is destruction. In fact, the Bible says at the end of this road is death. And that could be the death of a relationship, death of trust. You can learn to not trust yourself. Your children can learn to not trust you, right? It's a death of many things. And so we like to be positive, and here's how we're being positive. We're positive. This is going to destroy relationships if we don't wake up to the fact that we need to set some really healthy, holy boundaries around our relationships, especially when it comes to social media.
Absolutely. I, even before, I want to say probably about 15 years ago, I did a lot of work on the side outside of my regular job, where I was helping people to build websites, and it was fun. You know, it wasn't that big of a thing, but there was an old friend that I caught up with. She had messaged me and said, "I need a website." I'm like, "Cool." And so I have always operated under the boundary of letting my wife know when I was talking to somebody. And with her in particular, I made it a point to let her know that my wife was listening, because mm-hmm. I did not want it to go further than anybody would think. She was single, you know, I'm married. Sometimes that's very attractive for women to find a married man who knows, committed, that all of a sudden in their mind, they can think, I could have a relationship with that person. For guys, it could be, oh, she's available and I could have a relationship with them. But without good boundaries, you're going to set yourself up for failure. I think a lot of times we have this fantasy in our mind of what we're looking for, but we're not getting it from our spouse. And we think, oh, somebody else will know what I need, and they're going to fulfill my needs. And it's a lie. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves and then justifying it by finding any which way to be in those relationships. So you'll find people that will not only lie to themselves, but they will justify it. I think we all grew up in a time where social media was not something that came to us early in life. We have generations now that are born into the social media age. Out of it came not only social media, but also online dating. And you have this wide option of being able to find people that are available. And so that can then translate into people on social media going, oh, they might be available too. And I think what has happened is that we've been engineered to think in those ways. Whereas before, you had to go somewhere to meet someone. You had to have circles. You would go to church. You would have family events. You would have school. You had to physically go to a place to meet people. And some people, I hate to say it, were probably good at having multiple girlfriends or multiple boyfriends, but that was a difficult thing to do because you had to travel to those places. Right. Yeah. And people would get caught. Now we have the ability from the closet of our house or wherever we are to have those illicit relationships without having to travel somewhere. And it opens up new opportunities. But one of the scriptures that came to my mind when you guys were talking was Proverbs chapter 5. It talks about, it's a warning from a father to a son about an adulterous woman. And I'm going to read the first part of it. It says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, right? This is knowledge. This is wisdom. That you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge, for the lips of an adulterous woman drips honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Now, we're not calling out women as being the perpetrators. What we're saying is that the adultery is like honey. It's like it's as smooth as oil, and like sin is pleasurable in the moment, but in the end it brings death. Just like anything that we're talking about right now is that we say, oh, you know, the temptation because I need, instead of the temptation because I want. You know, we try to justify it by saying it's a need, and then we find ourselves with a big mess.
Both you guys use the word slippery slope and boundaries. And one of the things that that never ceases to amaze me, if one spouse or the other is caught up in social media or online, meeting another person and emotional cheating, and even worse than that, most of the time, is this slippery slope part of it. They didn't mean it for it to turn out that way, but it developed that way. That's how sin does, and that's what Laura read in James, how it's a an increasing kind of a phenomenon that just traps us and imprisons us and just brings all kinds of things upon us. And it's not God's fault. It's our fault, right? It's our lust. But what I hear oftentimes, I'll instruct couples who are having these problems to create two lists: what I need to change to make the marriage better, and what I need you to change to make the relationship better or marriage better. And I have them send those to me independently. And it seems like inevitably the spouse who's the perpetrator of inappropriate emotional cheating or worse online says something like, well, I don't want my wife or I don't want my husband to go through my phone. And so I listen for a long time. I give them a lot of leash for a session or two until their own logic can bring it to attention, some of the things they need to pay attention to. It depends. Sometimes I'll bring it to their attention more explicitly. But if there's our audience out there, if you are so secret with the slippery slope with your media, with your phone or your tablet or whatever, and if your spouse can't pick it up and look at it, you're doing something wrong. If you have a secret, an online secret, and you don't want to share it openly with your wife, it's inappropriate. Oh, pardon me, wife or husband, it's inappropriate. It's not good. My wife can pick up my phone anytime she wants to. I have nothing to hide. I don't look up porn. I'm not cheating with other women emotionally or anything. And I think it needs to be that way. If we're not completely transparent, open, we have a soul problem. And that soul problem is just waiting for an opportunity to have problems online if we're not careful with our social media. So if you're doing something online that you shouldn't and you don't want to share it with your spouse, you are on bad ground.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, healthy marriages, and, you know, we're emphasizing healthy marriages, right? You know, we're open books, right? It doesn't mean that you don't have privacy about certain things, but there's a difference between privacy and secrecy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I would add to what Kevin said is that if you have a partner who is, let's say they're very explosive and they get upset about the smallest of things and you don't want them to be in your phone, because even though you're not doing something quote unquote wrong, they'll read into something very innocent and make something out of it. Hey, that happens. That definitely happens. What the three of us would say though is that that's pointing to a much deeper problem. You're locking your phone isn't making those issues go away. You're just, understandably, but wrongfully, you're just putting them out further into the future to be dealt with, right? So we understand that there might be a listener who says, oh man, if you just knew my mate, right? If they see anything, they're going to make, well, the Bible says that, you know, for a pure heart, to a pure hearted person, everything's pure. And to a person with an evil conscience, okay, everything becomes polluted and perverted. Okay, that happens. But that doesn't change the fact that what we're saying is marriage is such a divine covenant of God. We should be able to be open books to each other, that there's nothing to hide. Why? Because people that got nothing to hide, hide nothing, right? But isn't it sad, gentlemen and listener, you know it to be true, that apps have it now where you can hide apps, you can hide who you are. And, you know, this is kind of taking a little bit of a detour here, but listener, we love you enough to remind you that not everybody that you think you're talking to on social media is who you think you're talking to. There are more fake accounts than there probably are real accounts. And even though that is a person that you knew back in high school, you have no idea how it may have been hacked, right? So again, you're talking to a stranger who's already in a place of deceiving you. Now that's just something we got to put out there because it's so common, mm-hmm. right? But even if it's a person that you know, right? We're saying warning, because there's something about the way that men and women communicate with each other. It's wired into us. You know, we're just wired to be aware of the opposite sex, which is why we have to put guardrails around ourselves and have boundaries in our marriage so that we can have healthy, holy relationships with the opposite sex. But that's because we have set guardrails and boundaries in place.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The passcode thing is very important. My wife knows my passcode. We share the same passcode. It's not something that we have to think, oh, what is it again? What is theirs? Oh yeah, here's mine. No, we share the same one. The only devices that I have that have a different passcode are the ones I use at the church, because I don't want people at church to know my passcode, right? Kevin uses that device. He knows the passcode for that device. And so those are things that we practice and are very important. And so having the trust, and I think it's, here's something that I think it might be harder mostly on women and sometimes on men is jealousy. Okay. And jealousy can breed strife in a relationship. And there's some people that are automatically prone to jealousy. And so if they could be bringing that in from a previous relationship, they could have something that happened to them in the past going into this relationship. And they're like, I don't know if I could trust them. I've dealt with clients who have dealt with jealousy, and mostly the guys that they're like, I don't know why she keeps doing this to me. And I said, you have to ask her a question. And the question is very simple. Do you trust me? If it's anything less than yes, then she doesn't. And we need to figure out why. It's not a yes, but that's still not a yes. That's a no. And so if you're dealing with somebody who's constantly jealous, you have to ask them, do you trust me? And because they need to deal with whatever they are dealing with from that previous relationship. What they're doing is they're holding you accountable for what the other person did to them. And that's not good. And so ask the simple question, do you trust me? And then Laura, you mentioned about going through and seeing if you can find something on the other person's device. It reminded me of Chronicles of Narnia and what C.S. Lewis wrote and how some of the children would hear something that somebody said about them without them knowing. And Aslan confronted that child and said, you know, that's their story. Okay. And what you did was not good. Listening in or seeking out to find out what they were thinking. Because sometimes what happens is we will find and confirm something that may not actually be true, but are the thoughts of someone else or could be perceived as the thoughts of someone else. And so we have to be careful that we can find whatever we're looking for. We can manufacture it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And what you're doing is you're adding pain, you're adding strife onto that relationship. And the last thing too is that we've talked about is like emotional affairs. I think at some point in the future, we need to talk about emotional divorces.
Yep, because, that's a good one, Joseph.
Yep. You know, emotional affairs start with the little things and can snowball into something bad. An emotional divorce starts with the little things and snowballs into actual divorce. And so we have a lot of things that we're dealing with that need to be addressed early on. And we, most of the time, the people that are seeking out this needs to be fixed are, I find sometimes, typically the ones that have the problem. And they don't trust. They may be hurt from a previous relationship. They're bringing things into their relationship that they've not addressed. The other side of it is some people have a fantasy that ends up taking them places that they don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Joseph, that emotional divorce, because we can use social media to build up a case like a good, like, well, I wouldn't say a good attorney, but well, a good attorney, like an attorney. They're looking for evidence and data or something to back up their position. So if you're going through an emotional problem with your spouse or some sort of emotional withdrawal or a divorce process, an emotional divorce, then you're going to look on social media, or you might be tempted, well, that person is prettier than my spouse, or that person is more successful than my spouse. So that's data to start your justification trail psychologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Oh, that person, boy, we have more things in common. Or that person, boy, look, we belong to the same club. Or, you know, we got so much more. You can start using social media to build up evidence or some sort of something to justify your nonsense if you're not careful, or your fantasy, as you referred to, or your whatever. But I think what we need to do is take a step back and realize what our marriages are. Our marriages are a reflection of Jesus Christ's relationship with his church. That covenant is a God-plain relationship. It's not a man-made thing. And so if we are emotionally cheating or emotionally divorcing or doing anything inappropriate online, we are really rebelling against God himself and our spouse, but against God himself and breaking covenant. And if we can't be trusted with that, what can we be trusted with? And if we can't be trusted with that, then the enemy has free rein to turn us every which way but loose, and he will. He'll destroy everything around you.
You know, it's like we lose integrity with others and we lose it with ourselves. And you know what I love that you said, Kevin, is that, you know, you look on there and you say, oh, this person's prettier than my wife. Yes. The world is full of beautiful people. The only thing constant is change. So, gentlemen, if you're looking and saying this woman is more beautiful than my wife, hello, welcome to the world, okay? But you don't know who your wife is yet to become. Mm. And women, if you're looking and saying, oh, this guy, he has a more important job, he makes more money, you have no idea who your husband is going to become. The only thing that is constant is the flux. All of our life is in flux. Listen, a marriage might be in a season of what we call winter, because it's like there's babies and there's bills and you're trying to build a business, and like there's not a lot of time for romance. But you got to remember that it's just that you're in flux. You are in the process of building something. And I don't know about you guys, but my husband and I did a lot of work in Honduras building homes. And let me tell you something, you're not pretty when you're building, okay? You're hot, you're sweaty, right? You're tired. I just feel like that's a word of the Lord for somebody, okay? When you're building something, you're tired, you're messy, but it's just a season. See, we built things so that people could come in and live peaceful lives, right? There comes a place where the building is done. So there's always going to be somebody prettier. I'm going to speak to the women now. There's always going to be somebody prettier. This is why learning to love who God designed you to be. Listen, I believe, you know, you can fix this and fix that and make up this and color that. Listen, I'm all about that. But ultimately, learning to love yourself for the vehicle, the body that God gave you, is really the first place to start. Because if you're not careful, you're going to pursue a moving target, okay? Because as soon as you think you're as beautiful as this one to your right, I promise you another one more beautiful with completely different looks is going to show up on your left. And that's okay. That's the way life is, right? And, you know, it's the same again. You know, women are very drawn, rightfully or wrongfully, right? They're drawn to men that are quote unquote successful. Okay, but your man is in process too, right? And even if he isn't financially successful, is he successful in the way he cares for his children? Is he a man of integrity who shows up on the job? Does he actually even work? Does he actually even keep a job? Is he good to strangers? Is he generous? You see, there's a lot of ways for a man to be wealthy. And gentlemen, there's a lot of ways for women to be beautiful. And it has very little to do with their curves. Because I'll tell you, gentlemen, I want to remind you, curves change too. Okay? And so the prettiest woman today will look different in 5 years and 10 years. It's just the way the world is. So when we go back to this place of what the three of us are talking about, and we go back to the heart of the matter, getting into the soul of the marriage, right? Working on whatever it is that the marriage needs so that there is no turning outside the marriage. As Dr. Phil always said, you never solve a problem in a marriage by turning outside the marriage. That's a word for somebody that's never heard that great Dr. Philism, okay? You never ever solve anything in your marriage when you turn outside of the marriage to find an answer.
Join us next week for part two. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.